Good morning. It is good to worship with you this morning. One of the ways that we express our love to God is through our worship of Him as we sing and gather together. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, worship team. Welcome. Welcome to White Plains Baptist Church. My name is Gary, and I joyfully serve as the senior pastor here. And if this is your first time here, if you're new to us, I want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you for being our guest this morning. You are an answer to prayer. I've been praying for you this week and your family, and I want you to know that we want to be a welcoming and friendly group of people. And so it's my hope that as you are here, that you see us as a warm and welcoming group of people. Thank you for being here with us and joining us. Kids, it's always good to see you here. I'm thankful for you, and I want to show you some pictures of some stuff we're doing upstairs. You know, we're doing a remodel project, and there are some photos of what's going on up there. This is the new kids area. We took out a lot of walls, there's one big room upstairs and three small classrooms in the kids area. And then over here, that's back there behind y'all. And then the student ministry area is over here, and it's one big room. And it's neat to see this all coming together. It's fun. Kids, I'm excited to get you guys upstairs in those new spaces to see how God can use those spaces as your teachers continue to teach you about Jesus and God from the Bible. So are you looking forward to being up there too? Well, good. We're going to go ahead and dismiss kids to kids' church. And so you guys are dismissed to go out to the lobby. And the kids' church is for kids in kindergarten through sixth grade. And parents and grandparents can pick up their kids, their grandkids, just inside the back door of the chapel building across the way. That building will be locked and secured as soon as they get over there. And as they're leaving, I want to say thank you to so many of you guys who helped in our Easter egg hunt over last weekend, and how much fun that was. I saw so many of you all engaged in conversations with our guests, those you invited and those who showed up. It was a fun weekend. Ada had taken some really good pictures, and it was neat to see the kids' excitement as they were running into a wall of foam, and then the wetness of them after as they spent time outside the foam. But thank you. That ministry is important. Speaking to community members as they come and visit us, it's important for us to be a warm and welcoming group of people. So thank you for being that this past weekend. And as we jump into the summer months, there's going to be more opportunity for that type of ministry of us engaging in friendly conversation, getting to know our neighbors as we have our outdoor movie nights. And I hope that we will continue to be a church that warmly welcomes our family and our friends and our neighbors, especially over the summer as we have these movie nights. And these movie nights are meant for kids and families. And if the movies don't appeal to you, I would still hope that you would come and be a part of this outreach and way to connect with our community. Be here and help have conversations with our neighbors, our family, and our friends who show up. We'll need several volunteers to make this event happen over the summer, these events. And I'll have more about that in the coming weeks. I also want to say thank you to those of you all who completed our annual church survey last week during Easter. I loved reading through those and seeing where your heart is for our community. There is much to pray for in our community, and there's much to consider as we look at reaching out to those around us. And I enjoyed seeing how you care for our community through those surveys. We're going to be looking at those results this evening during our Reimagine Church workshop. I've taken all those results and put them into a graph, and so it'd help us see sort of where we as a church see some great needs in our community. So I would encourage you to join us at 6 over in the chapel. And I'll continue to use those results from the survey as the Lord leads in the coming months. Now, if you didn't get a chance to fill out one of those surveys, there's still several available out on the welcome desk. I would welcome your input on those, so feel free to grab one and place it in that black box there by the door, and we'll get to that before too long. But this morning we're going to be in Psalm 119. Now, if you know Psalm 119, you might have been panicked just a minute because it is a long chapter. We're going to be in just a short part of that chapter. Psalm 19 is the largest chapter in the Bible. It is larger than many books of the Bible. Psalm 119 is a really, really good psalm to spend a lot of time with. Again, we'll just be reading a few verses in that psalm this morning. But last week, during our Easter worship, I began to set us up for where we're headed with the next few weeks with this sermon series, How to Change Your World in Just 20 Minutes a Day. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing with you about the Bible. I will be speaking from the Bible about the Bible. And over the course of this series, I hope I will be able to teach you one way to study and read your Bible. I'll be teaching you the devotional Bible study method as outlined in Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods book. Now, there are many ways to study the Bible. Warren, in his book, outlines 12 different ways to study the Bible. And if you're currently studying the Bible regularly with a different method, by all means, keep that up. Don't change for this sermon series. My intention is for those of us who struggle with having regular Bible study time, that this would be a good way to start. Because I recognize for many of us, we struggle with that regular study of the Bible for whatever reason. It just becomes a challenge and a chore, and it doesn't get done often. There's many reasons for that struggle, and I want to teach you a way that you can study your Bible that is relatively easy, and it doesn't take up too much time, and it doesn't require a lot of investments in different resources. And that's why I like the devotional method of studying your Bible as a good starting place for regular Bible study. And Rick Warren defines this method, the devotional Bible study method, in his book, is this. It involves taking a passage of the Bible, whether it's large or small, and prayerfully meditating on it until the Holy Spirit shows you a way to apply its truth to your own life in a way that is personal, practical, possible, and provable. The goal is for you to take seriously the Word of God and do what it says. And that last part is from James. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself." And that's the goal of Bible study. As we spend time studying the Bible, it is to do the Bible. It is to do what it says, to be changed by it, to be made more in the likeness of Jesus because of it. Sometimes that requires interpretation, trying to figure out what it means. Other times it is simply just taking what the Bible says and applying it to our lives and to doing it. The devotional method of the Bible study doesn't require much time, and it's a great way to get started if you haven't gotten into the habit of regularly studying and reading your Bible. My hope is that those of us who struggle with this will build a habit over the next 40 days of spending 20 minutes a day studying God's Word. Now, I've given you some resources that may be helpful as preparation for this series. They're in the back of your note sheet. There's a book. The book by Warren is a good book to learn different Bible study methods. Fee's book there is a great way to understand the different parts of the Bible. Not all parts of the Bible are written in the same way. Croft and Nicodem, they both give us helpful ways of understanding the big storyline of the Bible. And I give you these resources to aid you in your Bible reading and Bible study, not to replace your Bible reading and Bible study. Again, the goal of this series is for us to build a habit over the next 40 days of spending just 20 minutes a day reading and studying God's Word. Let's look at Psalm 119, and we'll be in verse 9, and we'll read through 16 together. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray in response to God's word this morning. God, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for the truthfulness that we can find in your word, the goodness that we know of you as we read your word. Help us to apply this passage to our lives. Be with us as we dig deeper into your word this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I mentioned this devotional Bible study method. Let me sort of walk you through that a little bit as you look at this piece, this passage of Scripture. First, you pray. We did that after because that's what my rhythm is here. We read Scripture and we pray in response as worshipful. But in Bible study, when you're doing this personally, pray before. Pray that God would be ready in your mind and your heart for what's going to come in God's Word. So pray, then read, and I highlighted a whole lot in that passage in Psalm 119 as I read through that when I read it initially. And then as you think about that passage, and this can be done by rereading the passage, it's good to spend more time with God's Word than less time. And so with a short passage like this, it's good to reread it and read it in different, maybe different translations. And then apply the passage. If you're a journaling type of person, write down the ways you discover that and how to apply that passage. If you don't write a journal, then consider how that passage could be applied to your life recently, or think about what you're facing currently and how this passage speaks to that. And so with the devotional Bible study method, you pray, you read, you think, then you do. You pray, you read, you think, and then you do. With this passage in Psalm 119, I took note of the initial question there in verse 9, and then I made note, I highlighted all the ways the psalmist answers that question. And the question that's posed by the psalmist is, how can I keep my way pure? And he points us to God's word as a central part of answering that question. The actions and responses to that question are throughout the psalm. Those answers include, and if you're looking in your Bible, they'll pop out as I give you the answers, but the answers include guarding my heart according to God's word, seeking God with my whole heart according to the commandments of the Bible, living obediently to God's commandments, memorizing or storing up God's word in my heart so that I might not sin. As you look at ways to apply this passage to your life, learn God's word, speak God's word, delight in God's word, think about God's word, read God's word, and remember God's word. I pulled all that out of that short passage in Psalm 119. It's a really good passage to get started on to understand why it's so important for us to know and study our Bible. We didn't have to get any commentaries out. I didn't look in my study Bible notes. This passage is relatively clear for us just to look at it and understand it. We can apply this passage again by learning, speaking, delighting in, thinking about, reading, and remembering God's word, and we do this ultimately as we regularly study and read the Bible. So what do you think about that process? Is that something you could do by yourself tomorrow? Probably so. I think you could handle that, just taking a passage and thinking about it, reading it, and doing it. Over the next few weeks, I'll be sharing with you about the Bible. I'll be speaking from the Bible about the Bible in the hopes that we build a habit over the next 40 days of spending 20 minutes a day studying God's Word. Because the Bible is our sole authority. God's Word for Christians is our sole authority. Our opinions, our music, our preaching, our thoughts, our words, our ideas must submit to God's Word. If our opinions, our music, our preaching, thoughts, words, or ideas ever find themselves at odds with God's word must prevail. It is our sole authority as we follow after Jesus. This is what Paul writes in Ephesians 4. It's a familiar passage, but listen to verses 11 through 16. And God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Again, this is a familiar passage, and it helps us understand why God gave the church pastors and teachers. One of my primary roles as your pastor is to teach you the Bible. Paul says that I am to build you up in the knowledge of the Son of God, and that knowledge of the Son of God is found in the Bible. Paul goes on to say why pastors are to do this. In verse 14 of chapter 4, Paul says that as you grow up in the knowledge of God, you mature. You go from a simple faith to a maturing faith. In a simple childlike faith, one can be tossed to and fro by everything they're told. Creative and entertaining speakers can lead people away from the truth, and we can be deceived if we don't know the Bible ourselves. And then also, when life gets hard, we can let that difficulty take us to places that God's Word would never intend for us to go. To say it another way, when I don't know the Bible, I am more vulnerable to circumstances and false teachers. When I don't know the Bible, I am more vulnerable to circumstances and false teachers. Now, this can be very similar to when you take your car into the repair shop. Because of your circumstances, your car is broken and you're vulnerable, aren't you? You're vulnerable to being taken advantage of by people who sound like they know what they're talking about, especially if you don't know why your car is broken. If I don't know why my car is broken, what's wrong with it, the mechanic can tell me anything he wants to tell me, and I will believe him because I want my car unbroken. I want him fixed. And I won't know if he's telling me the truth. Now, I'm not saying that mechanics are lying to you. I'm not saying that mechanics are misleading. What I am saying is that when you don't know your Bible, you are more vulnerable to your circumstances and to false teachers. Jesus says this in Matthew 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And then the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Wisdom is using knowledge to make right decisions. It's a really good way to describe wisdom. It's using knowledge to make right decisions. And Jesus says here in Matthew that wisdom begins with the Word of God. When we know it and do it, we are being wise. We make right decisions. And we study the Bible to do what it says. We don't necessarily study the Bible to win an argument, to make a point. We study the Bible to do what it says. Now, when I was in high school, I worked at a Christian bookstore over in Glasgow. It was on the square. It was called Fishers of Men. And as a high schooler, it was a fun place to work at. But I was like many of you, and I struggled with regularly reading the Bible. And so as a teenager, I thought it wise to ask another teenager this question. would it be okay to replace studying the Bible with listening to Christian music? That was a question I asked my coworker, who was also a teenager. Now, I'm not against Christian music. I used to work for Christian Family Radio in Bowling Green while I was in college, and I spent most of my musical life with Christian music. What I was basically asking my teenage friend was, can I replace something that I was finding difficult with something that I found relatively easy and get the same result? What do you think? In every other aspect of life, do we ever get the same result by replacing something difficult with something easy? Here's what Paul says to Timothy. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that helped me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here Paul is recounting a lot of the life that he lived and we studied in the book of Acts. How he was going around from town to town and being run out of town because evil people and imposters were after him. Paul says that evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse and deceive while being deceived. We cannot replace personal Bible study with musicians, pastors, or authors. We can use them as supplements for sure. They can aid us in our study of the Bible, but they should never replace the study of the Bible. Why? Because since high school, the 25 or plus years since that, I asked my friend, can I just listen to Christian music instead of reading my Bible? Several of those Christian artists and musicians who once proclaimed Christian music have fallen away from the faith. Many of them are now adamantly against the faith they once shared. Just over the past few years, we've had popular pastors, musicians, and Christian authors stop believing what they once shared with others. Paul says this happens. Paul says this will continue to happen. He points us to what doesn't fall away. He points you and me to what won't fail us. He points us to God's Word. Preachers, pastors, musicians, and authors may fall away from their faith, but God is faithful. He will never leave you. His words will always be true. Never replace something God said with something God made. Listen to what Paul says again in 2 Timothy here. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We can't say that about anything or anyone else, can we? The words of the Bible are the very words of God. The words of the Bible are breathed out by God. They're profitable to you, to me, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You might be familiar with the name Martin Luther. At the time of the Reformation, he coined this phrase, sola scriptura. In English, that means scripture alone. Now, this was in contrast to the Roman Catholic Church, who places the church as authority over scripture and allows for the church to have equal, if not at some times, a greater voice than scripture. Now, I don't think any one of us here would ever say that a pastor, musician, or author is greater than the Bible. I don't think any of us would ever say that. But I do think we are tempted oftentimes to give the words of man in whatever form too much space in our minds, especially if we don't know God's word. Especially if we don't know the Bible, we will give others' opinions, others' ideas, others' thoughts too much space in our minds. When I read to you God's word, I am reading to you the very words of God. When I explain to you God's word, I am using lesser words. I am using words that aren't necessarily God's words. They are shaped by God's words, but they go through me in a way, and they are lesser words. And I work hard during the week to study and prepare for Sundays. I pray as I prepare for this morning, and I believe that I bring to you words that God would have me to say to you, but as I'm speaking, my words are always going to be lesser than what God's word is when I read to you from the Bible. And it's the same with every other preacher, every other pastor, every other musician, and every other author. They can be helpful, but never replace something God said with something God made. We see the Bible alone as our authority. We're Southern Baptists here at White Plains, and as Southern Baptists, we have a very high view of the Bible. I'm expressing a very high view of the Bible this morning. Maybe a higher view than you've realized. But as Southern Baptists, we have this very high view of Scripture. And here's what our Confession of Faith, the Baptist Faith and Message, says about the Bible. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of Himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is Himself the focus of divine revelation. There's so much good doctrine right here in this short little paragraph. There's so much good truth about the Bible here, but these words are written by men. They're lesser than what the Bible says about itself. And the Bible says about itself here in Psalm 119, later on in this long chapter in Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible guides us through our journey of life. It shows us the way. It shows us where to go, how to walk. Because you are not an accident. You are not a mistake. The Bible tells us you have value. You have worth. Last week at Easter, I tried to show you how you and I are created differently from everything else because we have value. We have worth. The Bible recognizes that. It speaks to that. The Bible is many stories telling one big story. The Bible is many stories telling one big story. Let me give you some astonishing facts about the Bible. There are 66 books in your Bible. They're made up of 7 different genres. In the Bible, you have narrative, poetry, wisdom, prophecy, gospel, letters, and apocalypse. To make things more confusing, some of the letters are written to people, to a person. Some letters are written to a group of people. Some of the letters are named for the person who wrote the letter, and some of the letters are named for the receiver of the letter. God used around 35 different people to write and author the Bible over a period of 1,500 years. The Bible was originally written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And even though there are 66 books in seven genres by 35 different authors over 1,500 years in three different languages, the Bible is many stories telling one big story. The Bible tells us of God rescuing people like you and me. I gave you this primary storyline of the Bible last week at Easter, how you and I are created special by God. We are created in His image, but we are broken by sin. As we were broken by sin, God quickly stepped in into that brokenness, and He promised restoration. And the bulk of the Old Testament is full of stories of how man, people like you and me, tried to live up to our bargain with God, but we fail. We fail every time, but God sent Jesus, and in Jesus, the restoration that we need to be made right with God again is fulfilled completely and totally in Jesus. That's the primary storyline of the Bible. It's many stories telling one big story, the story of God rescuing people like you and me. And if you follow Jesus, you should know this book, the Bible. If you're following Jesus, you should know how the stories within it tell the stories of it. The Bible is central to the life of the one following after Jesus. It contains His words to us. Both Old and New Testaments are the words of God. This morning, as we embark on this 40-day challenge, I would encourage you to strive to make the Bible the authority of your life, to build a habit over the next 40 days by spending 20 minutes a day studying God's Word. Will you do that? Will you work 20 minutes a day for the next 40 days studying God's Word? Tomorrow we'll start this 40-day challenge to spend 20 minutes a day by reading and studying the Bible. And you can join us online at whiteplains.church/Bible. I've worked really hard to make it as easy as possible for you to read through short chapters of books of the Bible over the next 40 days to give you a really good overview of the Bible. If you aren't an online computer type person, we have these at the welcome desk. And you can do it analog and just check them off the box as you read through them. But I would encourage you, if you struggle with reading the Bible, would you join us to make a habit over the next 40 days by spending just 20 minutes a day reading and studying the Bible? I'll invite the worship team to come back up this morning. And as they're coming, I'll remind you the Bible is many stories. It's telling one big story, the story of God rescuing people like you and me. And if you feel far from God, no matter what has made you feel that way, if you feel far from God, if you feel like you've been trying to make things right with God, and you're frustrated and you're failing of being able to achieve that, there is hope found in the Bible. God's word to us is full of hope. God is faithful. He promises to save you. He promises to be with you, and He promises to strengthen you. Would you stand as we pray? God, thank You for Your word to us this morning. And I'll just repeat back to you what's in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to Your word. With my whole heart I seek You. Let me not wander from Your commandments. I have stored up Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach us Your statutes. With our lips we declare all the rules of Your mouth. In the way of Your testimonies we delight, as much in all riches. We will meditate on Your precepts and fix our eyes on Your ways. We will delight in the statutes. We will not forget Your word to us, God. Thank You for loving us so much that You gave us so much to read and to consider the way You value us, the way You've given us worth, the way You promise restoration, and You deliver that in Jesus. Thank You for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.